This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Tuesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Last night, Patriots win Monday Night Football as they go on to beat Arizona in Arizona, 27-13. This game had two things that I think a lot of people were kind of looking at. Really, just two. Arizona's season was over, and I think people were wondering, all right, well, how do they look on down the stretch, right? Does Kyler Murray continue to progress? How does he look? How does he look down the road? You know, the season moves kind of down the road. Remember, they gave him an extension. They gave Cliff Kingsbury an extension. But the season hasn't really gone right for Arizona. They've been befuddled with injuries. Just the luck of the ball, I guess. This is a team that was one of the hottest teams in the NFL last year. Stumbled down the stretch. Looked terrible in the playoffs. But I think that was kind of the big thing. Kyler Murray. And then, whoops, Kyler Murray goes down with an injury. And that's it. So for the Arizona side of things, that's it. It looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the year. No doubt they say it's a torn ACL, so he's done. And then the shift goes, all right, so if I don't have a dog in this fight, what else am I getting out of Monday Night Football? Well, it's the Patriots. Because the Patriots at 6-6 needed to win to stay alive in the big picture of what the postseason is, right? They need to be amongst the Jets. They need to be amongst the Chargers. They need to be amongst even the teams that are kind of looking up and trying to fight their way back into this playoff picture. They needed to win. A 6-7 record and a 7-6 record are two, it's one game, but it's a lot. It's a lot because you've got to make up some room and you got to fight your way through it. Nevertheless, the Patriots do get the win, and they do so in the second half of the game where they outscored Arizona 17-0, and they did so in the way New England is going to have to win games going forward. The Patriots' offense is not very good, but how it's going to win games is this. They're going to play really good defense. And you know what? They might even get a touchdown with that defense like they did last night. And you know what? Their special teams might be pretty good too. But they also need, every now and then, they need the offense to do some good things. They can't count on it all the time, but they need to do some good things. You got two rushing touchdowns last night. Mac Jones showed some frustration. They had a much better second half. They're not stellar offensively. They sort of know that. But if they can play solid defense and get points off turnovers, which is what they do better than anybody else in the NFL, then they've got a fighting chance to continue on in this season as one of the threats to take one of those three wild card spots away. We'll continue to look at this game when we come back.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. So again, Monday Night Football last night, as I was saying earlier, I think there were just two storylines, and one of them was done pretty quickly with Kyler Murray went out with the injury, which is Arizona's season is going to go down the home stretch. And the Cardinals, if you're Michael Bidwell and you own the Cardinals, you've just given an extension to your general manager and your head coach, right? You've given those guys extensions because they did have a good season last year, even though it kind of fluttered out. There were some injuries that piled up for them last year. They looked terrible against the Rams. Remember, that was one of the worst playoff teams that I've seen. They were just unprepared for the postseason. But remember, they started off 7-0. I think they won 7 straight games. And then they kind of stumbled down the stretch a little bit. But there was enough excitement. And then Kyler Murray had this go, no go with the team. And then they finally got him a deal. But this season has been a lot of injuries in just a season that did not live up to some expectations, but that's okay. Sometimes it happens in the NFL. It doesn't mean you got to clear the deck. Maybe they just go, Michael Bidwell goes, I'm not one of these owners that will just be willing to pay people to go away. I'm going to keep these guys working until I figure out another step and I'll give them another year based on what this is going. So last night's game from that perspective was, all right, can Kyler Murray continue to develop in the National Football League? Can he continue to grow and get better and better in the National Football League? Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all you're grasping at straws, basically, with the Cardinals season that was 4-8 going into the game and 1-6 at home. But then Murray goes down with a non-contact injury. Looks like it's a torn ACL, done for the year. All right, so that's out the window. Here comes Colt McCoy. But for the Patriots, again, it was about getting a victory. However you can get the victory, get to 7-6, and again, be tied with the Jets in the division, be tied with the Cardinals with your record, be part of those that group that is fighting for a playoff spot as we get down to the stretch run of the season. And as I said earlier, I think the Patriots are not a team that is going to be rewriting how they win football games. They're not a stellar offense. I mean, Mac Jones has had good statistics, but it was an on and off game. But they play great defense, and the defense can get you points, and they get more points off turnovers than any team in the NFL. And it's dangerous enough, but it's just not going to be dangerous enough in the larger picture of the AFC. Right? I like good defenses. I like teams that have stellar defenses that can just completely run over you. But in this AFC, you're going to need some offense. You're going to need some pop on your offense. You're going up against two, if not three, of the best quarterbacks in the game. You can even make it four because Justin Herbert is number two in the league in passing yards. So you're talking about a conference with Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and Herbert, and if Herbert can get the team into the playoffs. You know, not to mention some teams that can do some other things for you. So if you're the Patriots and you're going up against a Dolphins team, for example, that's explosive, you may not put Tua on top of that category yet, but they're explosive enough offensively. You're going to have to need to keep pace a little bit, even if your defense is playing really well, because they can't play that well, right? That's the thing with New England. So they had to get the win. They get the win. They get two rushing touchdowns, and McMillan, he gets the fumble recovery and return for a touchdown. That's what you're looking for on the defensive side, and that's it. That's it. I think the drama of this game sort of left for me when they got the touchdown in the fourth quarter. I didn't think Arizona looked any good at all with Colt McCoy. And I didn't think they were going to come back from a 27-13 deficit to score two touchdowns to tie the game, and they didn't. And that's exactly the way it stayed. So the Patriots go to 7-6, and the Cardinals go to 4-9. Now, the Cardinals season, again, a lot of injuries, a lot of piling up. But I don't think they're going to fire Cliff Kingsbury. I could be wrong on this because all indications, you never know with owners, right? You never know the way they think. We try to judge their mindset based on what they've done in the past, and there's an indication in Arizona that they don't do this kind of thing. They like their guy. Steve Wilks was a one-year guy, but overall, if they give an extension to a coach, they usually don't dump it after 1 year. That's usually how Arizona works. We'll see if that changes, if Cliff Kingsbury, because he's been on the hot seat all year, and this season did get away from them. But it also got away from a couple of other teams. I'll tell you this. There was a period of time last year where I loved Arizona. I loved the way they played, but I never really bought them. Like, I never bought them like I buy Kansas City, right? Like, Kansas City, you see the talent. You see how good they are. And this is the Tyreek Hill Kansas City Chiefs of last year, too. I mean, you can make the case this year, but I'm talking about last season. Even Buffalo. So Buffalo's just loaded with talent. Kansas City is loaded with talent. I never lose my mind in the NFL when a good team loses, right? That's sort of the larger talking point narrative, and I think there's a laziness to some of us in the media that want to create conversation that doesn't exist. So when I see the Chiefs stumble in a game, I don't go, are the wheels falling off Kansas City? Because you can't go 17-0, and you're going to lose a game or two. And sometimes in this league, you're going to lose to a game that comes up, to a team that comes up and bites you. But Arizona was one of those teams last year that I liked. I gave them all the credit. But when the wheels came off a little bit, I wasn't really all that surprised. I wasn't really all that surprised. Because, again, we get to this point of the season and you start seeing teams a lot different than they were in September and October when things are fresh. And the Cardinals last year were a team that was just losing players, losing games, not looking the same, and it showed up in the postseason. And this season, I just think this season they never got off to a good start. They never got off to where they were. They never picked up where they were last year. Like, we'll start this all over again. They've just been a mess. But you could make excuses for them, and I think the owner will make excuses saying, all right, well, the ball didn't bounce our way. Let's give it a roll again. Because they're not getting rid of the quarterback who they gave an extension to, but that's why the general manager and the coach are on the hot seat, even though they got extensions into 2027. Now, I don't know if they make it to 2027. I don't think he's that nuts to make a guy. You know, I don't think they're okay with paying you to leave at some point. I don't think they're paying big money to get you to leave after one bad year. So, again, the Patriots are now in the wild card picture again as they continue to be that way. It would have been really bad if they had lost, being 6-7. There's just so much movement in the AFC. It doesn't mean they're done. They're playing the Raiders in Las Vegas this week. The Raiders are – that's an interesting game to me. I think the Raiders have some fight, but not the same level of fight as they should have had against the Rams on Thursday. Right? That team was, you know, what, 5-7, and they had won 3 in a row. And even though 5-7 was a big ask, there was still going to be there was a feeling like if you could put some more wins together, you'll see how this plays out. You know, and losing that night on that Thursday night to Baker Mayfield, and where they gave up 2 touchdown drives in the final 3.5 minutes, including one of 98 yards, that inexcusable. And so I don't know if that emotionally isn't drains them enough, but the Patriots are right now back into this thing at 7-6. But they still have some work to do to fight back a Jets team that is dealing with a quarterback issue in Mike White, a Chargers team that might find their groove. Right, there's some other, you know, and then of course you've got the Cincinnati and Baltimore. One of those teams is winning the division; the other one's going to be right in everybody's face with a very decent enough record to be taking another wild card spot away. So you've got Miami, you've got the Cincinnati-Baltimore situation, you've got the Jets, you've got the Patriots, you've got the Chargers all vying for one of the other wildcard spots. So the Patriots didn't need that game last night, but they didn't look any different than the way anybody has ever said that they have played all season. Again, Mac Jones statistics were all right, 235, 24 completions, had a pick, but no touchdown passes, two touchdown drives that led to runs. But they were rather short touchdown drives, and they did get the defensive touchdown and a couple of field goals from Nick Folk. So they play good defense. The offense just enough. It's not stellar. It's not exciting, but that's how you win the football game, and that's how they won the football game last night, because the Cardinals and Colt McCoy didn't really have much else. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. All right, so that's Monday night. So now week 14 is in the books. We're going to have top five, bottom five. But there's this middle road of the NFL teams. We're going to talk about the health of some of them, including the New York Giants, who were really fun at 6-1 on the season. Remember that? They were winning games and nobody knew how. Well, now they're finding themselves in a dogfight with Washington, who they're going to play in D.C. coming up this weekend. We'll talk about the middle of the road teams and the hotness and coldness of some of them as we take the temperature of the teams that need to do something in the final few weeks of the season in the NFL as we continue. It is Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Did you watch the Manning cast last night? You did? I didn't.
I did catch a little bit of it last night.
You did?
Yeah.
I keep missing it, but I knew it was on. I knew it was on. I just didn't turn it on. I
forgotten about it as well, and then... You know, the game was kind of dragging along. It was like, oh, you know what? The Manning cast. Let me go check it out.
Yeah, Manning cast.
Checked it out, and I was like, all right, I don't really know what I was been missing.
Is the shtick dying? Is that what we're doing here with the Mannings? Do they not have enough shtick?
I don't know if it was the shtick or I just caught it on a bad night.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's the real thing is, you know, the celebrity guests that they had weren't really, oh, my God, drop what you're doing and watch.
Yeah, Bill Simmons was on. I was like, come on. Hasn't that shit passed for America?
Yeah.
Bill Simmons? what is Bill Simmons doing? I don't even know what he's doing.
I have no
he's
got idea the either. Ringer. I missed the Bill Simmons part.
But he's got the ringer, but is he doing anything else? I don't see him writing columns. I don't see him. He does a podcast. I guess he has a very successful podcast, so I'll give him that.
No, I was watching when Keegan-Michael Key was on.
Okay, was that good?
It was entertaining. I mean, he's a funny guy. I really like him.
Yeah.
But... You know, it was, I don't know. I don't know if the broadcast of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman kind of outweighs the Mannings.
Yeah.
Because remember, the Manning cast came up, I think pretty much came about because they didn't really have a Monday night crew.
Yeah, you're right. That was that weird sort of
Booger McFarland was doing something on the sidelines, and they were like
the Boogermobile.
Was it Steve Levy was doing the games?
Steve Levy. Who else was it?
Louis Riddick and Brian Greasy.
Yeah,
it wasn't like an attractive. They were good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you get the Monday night gig, you get the Monday night gig, but it wasn't like
You could tell ESPN wasn't all in on them.
Yeah. They were just.
And so now you have Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, guys who've they've worked together for years and just kind of had this rhythm and cadence to themselves. And
that's right.
And I just found that to be a little bit more entertaining. And then, you know, the other thing I mean, it sounds stupid, but just having the crowd noise, the ambiance of the football game, hear the whistles blow. You don't really hear that during the Manning cast.
Yeah.
Everything's kind of muted.
If I was a public, not a public relations, I think that's the wrong term. It's like, if I was a media advisory to the Mannings, I would say, obviously take opportunities, but be careful. Somehow, some way, and I never know what it is, only a few people have long-term in-your-face with everything staying power. Just be careful. Don't be, because the Manning cast is unique enough that you got to kind of go find it. Peyton Manning is beloved. Eli Manning is becoming there, but I'm seeing him a lot. And we have a tendency in this country to sort of go, after a while, we're tired of you.
It feels like it's getting forced.
Yeah, like, I don't need to see Peyton and Eli in every commercial, right? But again, they're hot right now. Every company wants a little piece of the Mannings. It's a magical formula. But I would say be pick and choose. Be careful. Spread it out over a long career. You guys are young. Don't burn out quickly. Like, you can have some staying power for a long time if you just pick and choose here and there, because after a while we go, what's the next thing? There's very few, like, think about it for a second. Like, I was watching, I was flipping through. Oh no, by the way, I haven't seen Top Gun Maverick yet, but it's now,
that's kind of blasphemous right there.
I know. I should have gone to see it in the theater.
What is wrong
with
you?
I just haven't gone to the theater. I have not been to the theater in forever. But I was thinking, like, Tom Cruise has been famous my whole life. My whole life he's been famous. And everything is. But I think not a lot of people are like that. Like Will Smith. Okay, Will Smith is on that level. Tom Cruise is on that level. But a lot of actors and musicians and artists, they kind of go up and down. And especially in the sports business, there's always something new. There's always a new athlete people jump to and whatnot. But I knew it was on last night. I was too lazy to turn the channel. I was typing and doing some stuff, and I was like, ah. And I just left it on Buck and Aikman. But I really got to dive into it again just to see. But, like Bill Simmons was on last night and he was like, helmet catch. Eli, helmet. I knew. I was like, okay, helmet catch again. How many helmet catch things are we going to do with Eli Manning? Eli Manning should just go, guys, I won another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't just throw a helmet catch.
I won another Super Bowl with another incredible pass.
Exactly. Like, stumps. Like, everything is about the helmet catch
Can we talk about Manningham for a second?
Can we do that?
We talk about. I mean, that was an amazing catch, an amazing throw. We never give that credit.
I had a long career with the Giants. Like, I've done some really good things.
You know what's going to happen? Like, it won't be. It'll be like our grandkids' generation that the helmet catch will have turned into. It was a game-winning touchdown. That helmet catch.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. You know what's funny about that? I saw that this morning. I am becoming a sports old man. This is what I mean. So this morning, ESPN was running a little segment on LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, and they were their sons, I guess, were playing against each other. I don't know, something about that. They were going back to how they were friends in high school and whatnot. And the guy who was introducing the piece was saying, they met on the high school field when they were high school students, and LeBron went into the NBA. LeBron was staying in high school, and Carmelo won a freshman championship at Syracuse. And he goes, and then the 2003 NBA draft, they went 1-2 in the NBA draft. And I'm an old man now. I went, no, they didn't. They went 1-3. Like, who cares? But I am like an old Karen.
I got one for you because I went old man yesterday.
Yeah.
Barstool Sports put out this graphic, right? It said, which former college basketball player would have made the most money off NIL deals? And they gave a list. There's there's 15 names on here, and everyone was like, oh, Zion would have been, you know, he would have made so much money. Jimmer Davis or Jimmer Fredette would have made so much money, and da da da. And Tyler Hansbrough, he would have made all the money. And I'm sitting there, and he is mentioned on this list, thank God. But the answer is obvious, right? It would have been Christian Laettner.
Christian Laettner, yeah. Because I mean, he would have had four years. He would have had 4 years.
He was the top basketball player in the country.
That's the key statistic in all of that, is that he was there for 4 years, not 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And it was just funny listening to seeing all these people post, and I'm like, okay, you're young.
That's what's happening to me. I'm getting to be like, no. And then I thought, maybe I'll sit down at the typewriter and write a letter to them telling them that they were wrong.
That's what I wanted to do.
Right?
Finally, I came across the people who were like, guys, it's Christian Laettner. I mean,
yeah.
Stop what you're doing.
Exactly.
You had a really good-looking guy at Duke University who was a star player for 4 years. He would have made all the money.
People, this is how they used to do it back in the day. They would watch a television news program, locally, nationally, whatever. They would hear something that was wrong, and then they would get to their typewriter, and they would go, on November 5th, you pronounced his last name as Smithsonian. It's Smithsonian. And people would go, did we do this? What? Janice in Cedar Rapids is upset at us for something. What did we do? Like, that's what they did.
Yeah.
That's what they did. And I'm getting to that age now where I was like, who do I tell at ESPN that Darko Milicic was the second pick in 2003 between LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, that they didn't go 1-2 in the draft? Who do I tell? Who do I reach out to? This is outrageous. Am I turning into a sports Karen? Is that what I'm doing?
It might be.
I might be. It's you know what it is? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's that my brain has all of this useless sports trivia that I want to give value to, right? Like, I don't have anything else important in my head. Like, I don't have the Pythagorean theorem in my head, but I have some useless sports trivia that I want to elevate to an upper level position of importance.
So if you walked around Oz and the wizard decided to bestow some brains on you, the first thing you would have pointed out was, you know, random Super Bowl facts.
Yeah, random Super Bowl facts. Yeah, exactly. That's what I would do. When he gave me my diploma, I would point to my head and go, Fulton Walker returned a touchdown to a kickoff for a touchdown in the next Super Bowl 17.
Not the sum of the isosceles right angle or whatever.
Exactly. No, that would not be it at all. I know, this is how geeky I am. I can't believe I'm admitting this. The other day I was just sitting in my seat, right? And I was just in my chair watching TV. And for whatever reason, I just started naming every Super Bowl winner from 1 to 56 off the top of my head.
Yeah.
All the way through.
I can see you do that.
And I went, what? Like, I did it to myself. Like if my daughter was home, she could have walked in, heard me say, like, Patriots, and go, what is he doing? And then leave and go, my dad's losing it. Somebody call the nut house. My dad just randomly throwing NFL teams out there.
Sitting there in a straitjacket.
Yeah, that's right. Straitjacket.
Padded walls.
Exactly. Steelers should have won 30. It was Cowboys. It's over. That's the way I'm heading. So just letting you know, like, if I'm not on the show one day, I could either A, be sick or institutionalized based on the ridiculous sports knowledge that's in my head that has nowhere else to go and has no level of importance. So, but anyway, nevertheless, all right, so I have a love-hate relationship with this time of year. I do. Because this is the fun part of the NFL regular season.
Yes, it is.
It is. This is when you start throwing out, but it means also we're at the end of the regular season. That's the problem. So I have a love-hate relationship with this time of year because I love looking at the situation and going, all right, if you are whoever, what's your schedule look like? What do other schedules look like? How does this playoff picture look? In the AFC, there's like a 2-game gap between the 7-6s and the 5-8s. There's nobody with 6 wins hovering there. The NFC could get a little tricky because the Detroit Lions are sort of hovering there a little bit. So, coming up next, we'll take some temperatures of some teams and their chances of making the playoffs when we come back. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
Aired on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, so let's take the pulse of some of the teams in the NFL in terms of their hope for the playoffs. So just to give you an idea of what's going on in the AFC right now. So we have just completed 14 weeks of an 18-week season, 17 games. But teams have got 13 games in the books. So they're playing four more games. So with four games to go, a lot can happen. But here's where we are right now. So the Bills, Ravens, Titans, and Chiefs are all division leaders. You have the Dolphins, the Bengals at 9-4. The Dolphins are 8-5. There are three teams at 7-6. They're all vying for a wild card spot. The Patriots, the Jets, and the Chargers. Now, they're all fighting for one spot, but there are some 5-8 teams that, while have not been eliminated, now, you know, they got some work to do. Because they're not trying to get into a big room. They're trying to get into a very narrow door. Because unless, of course, the Dolphins fall apart and lose four games, or the Bengals or Ravens fall apart. And the Ravens, you never know. Without Lamar Jackson, they could be in trouble down the stretch. But as of right now, it's not like you're joining a big party here. There's really one wild card spot as of today that's really open, and that's the teams that are 7-6. So the 5-8 teams that are two games back are trying to fight their way in to be in a party that's occupied by three teams for one spot. And that includes Cleveland, Pittsburgh, the Raiders. Those are the only three. Now, to me, personally, I think none of them have a chance. None of them. I don't think any of them are playing good football. I don't think you're going to see a massive turnaround. I think the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Jets. I think that's going to come from those three. The Jets are the one team that worries me because I know they like Mike White a lot. I know they do. But let's be honest. It's not like the team has had an absolute resurgence since he's come back. They beat a very lousy Bears team, and everyone were getting all excited about how great Mike White is, and that was coming off Zach Wilson not being able to do anything against a really good Patriots defense. Remember that game against New England when Marcus Jones returned the punt for a touchdown, and then Zach Wilson didn't take any responsibility for the fact that they only managed one field goal in 60 minutes of football?
You mean that old chestnut?
That old, yes, right. But since then, Mike White has lost back-to-back games, both of them on the road against both really good football teams in the Vikings and the Bills. So you can dissect a little bit of he played well enough against the Vikings, for example, to warrant getting the job. And against the Bills, he's a true warrior because he got hit twice and was sent to the hospital at the end of the game. But he kept going out there and fighting and fighting, and the team sort of rallied behind that attitude and emotion. But down the stretch, here's where the Jets are down the stretch. They got a Lions team that's coming into town that is pesky. They've got a Jaguars team that's not a doormat. They've got a Seahawks team that's trying to figure out, hey, we got to get our butt together and get rolling along in this postseason with the Niners running away with our division. And they got a Dolphins team coming up. So those are four very tough games for the Jets. They can play this quarterback mind game back and forth all they want. But the reality of it is they better make sure they, if I was Robert Saleh, I would find a way to say, look, here's where we're going in the next four games. Mike White is my quarterback. Zach Wilson is third string. Joe Flacco is the backup. If that's the way he wants to do it, or any combination thereof, barring injury, this is the way it is the rest of the way. He does not need to play this game with the New York media where is he going to start? Is he going to play? Is this a punishment? Was this a timeout for Zach Wilson to get his job back? What are you doing with that position? Because it feels like he's sort of implying that Mike White is the quarterback, but he's also not said definitively this is the way it's going to be. And he needs to do that. This is no joke of a schedule down the stretch. And right now you are swimming with the Patriots and the Chargers for one final wild card spot. New England is a team, as we talked about earlier, New England is a team that's just not finding any other way to play. That's it. This is the Patriots. What you're getting is the Patriots of what it's going to be. If they make the postseason, they're going to make the postseason with a mediocre Mac Jones, a mediocre offense, an offense that doesn't excite, that sort of makes you nervous when it's out there, to be honest with you. And the fact that the defense might be able to bail them out. The defense might be able to hold the opponent, make it frustrating for the opponent, get a turnover, return it for a touchdown. And, oh, by the way, maybe Marcus Jones returns a punt for a score or gives you good field position, whatever it may be. But the Patriots are not going to be a team that blows you away offensively. Now, the Chargers, you speak more on this than me. The Chargers are a team with a defense that is very problematic, but should have an offense that should keep up with that problem.
That's the problem, though.
Right? That is a problem. I mean, you can't give up 27 points a game or whatever they're giving up.
Yeah, and then constantly expect your offense to put up 30.
Right.
And that's the stage that we're at. And that's why I always say that they're playing to the level of the competition. They played great against the Dolphins. Of course they did.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, next game in, I can't think who they're playing next.
Does the does Bosa, is he playing?
He's still out.
He's still coming out. He's not coming off that IR yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Hopefully sooner than later.
Hopefully sooner. Right? All right. So, well, we'll see. But again, fighting for that seven spot. So if there was one of those three teams that I trust the most to get it, it's Herbert. He's second in the NFL in passing. He's got, you know.
But, I mean, here's the deal, right? They play the Titans next.
Yeah.
And the Chargers do have issues stopping the run game.
Yeah. So there you go.
Then, and especially, and the Titans if, need especially to get that back if, and if Bosa can't get back. They're just going to run daylight all day
long. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's two. That's the one underachieving of the three. Like, if you told me if you said to me at the beginning of the season, after week 14, the Patriots would be 7-6, I'd be like, that's about right. That's about right. Jets 7-6, I would have said, oh, ha, 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 that's ridiculous. They stink.
How
are they 7-6? The Chargers, I would have said, all right, what's up with that? Because I expected, you know, a little bit better than that. Much like I expected a little bit better than the Raiders. But that's sort of the pulse of where we are with the AFC. Like I said, they're lucky. Those three teams are lucky because there's not a 6-7 team that's playing well that can make a mess of it. Even if the 5-8 teams catch fire, that's still two games with four to play to get back in the party. That's probably a little too much. But it's the NFC that I'm just, my eyes are going, okay, what are we doing here? Because the Dallas Cowboys are two games back of the Eagles. So if you push them, okay, they've got one of those slots available. Here's the way we stand in the NFC. So for two wild card spots, if you're going to concede one to Dallas, who are 10-3 and shouldn't blow it, you've got Washington and the Giants, both 7-5-1. Now, I hate ties. I hate them. But in this case, I think a tie could save one of these two teams. They're playing this weekend. I think the loser of this game is out, even though they're not technically out. But I think the loser of this game is in some serious trouble. But you've got Detroit at 6-7. You've got the Seattle Seahawks at 7-6. Now, hear me out on this. The Carolina Panthers are 5-8. And believe it or not, they have gotten rid. I'm going to go through real quick. They traded Robbie Anderson. They got rid of Baker Mayfield. They sent Christian McCaffrey to San Francisco, and they fired Matt Rhule. All four of those things happen to teams that are like the Bears, for example, eliminated at 3-10, right? Or not, I wouldn't say the Bears because they get Justin Fields, but I'm saying a team like the Bears in terms of their record, where the season is just gone, it's lost, everything needs to go, you know, pack up, we're giving everything away to bargain, right? That's what the Carolina Panthers did. They got rid of three players and a coach. If the Panthers win the next four games, it does not matter what anybody else does. The Panthers are going to the playoffs. They're going to win the division. It does not matter. They got Tampa Bay on the schedule. They got New Orleans on the schedule, right? They will win their division. But if they win their division, okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 6-7 could win all their games but lose to Carolina. And then they become a wild card team that's playing around with the Commanders and the Giants and the Lions and the Seahawks as well. So you can't discount, don't discount the NFC South runner up just yet. That's my overall point. is don't look at the Panthers and the Falcons at 5-8 and say, well, if we're going to look at Green Bay and say, well, there's nothing there, then there's nothing there for either one of those teams. The Panthers, again, for whatever reason, and I don't seem to get it, but Sam Darnold isn't playing all that bad. But if they run the table, they've already beaten Tampa Bay this year. They run the table, and their schedule is not that it's not that hard. Then they will win the division, and then the Buccaneers get into the swimming pool. I think the Giants are done. I'll tell you, I think the Giants had a fun season, but I think the Giants are done. I think the injuries are piling up way too much.
They finally hit that wall. Yeah.
They hit the wall. They were 6-1 at one point. They're now 7-5-1. I think they're 1-4-1 in the last six games, if I'm not mistaken. The Commanders are still red hot. They're coming off a bye week. They won 6 of 7. If you throw with the tie in there, I mean, or they're 6-1-1 over their last 8. So they're 7-5-1. They're trending upwards, and the Giants are just a little too beat up. They're just too beat up. The Brian Daboll story is still fun. He's still one of the coach of the year candidates for what he's done. Although I'd probably look at Mike McDaniel, Nick Sirianni, but nevertheless, the Giants story is still good, even if they don't make the playoffs. It's that Lions team. They're going from a really good feel-good story, like, oh, how cool is this? The Lions are giving their fans something to be excited about, to being a real, we could make the playoffs threat. The thing about the Lions is this. They still can't stop anybody. The same problems that were affecting them in their 5-game losing skid are still problematic, but not as much. Not as much. I mean, they were giving up 32 points a game. Now they're giving up like 27. They're no longer last in the NFL in terms of points allowed. But they're still in the bottom part. The thing is, they are really turning it up offensively. They can beat you on the ground. Jared Goff is playing really good right now. Really good. He's not turning the ball over. They're smooth offensively. They struggle defensively, but they're one of those teams that if they need to get into a 35-34 type of football game, they can do it. They can do it. It's not the prettiest, and you do say, boy, can anybody play defense around here? But the reality of it is that they've gotten a little better on defense, and they can score. They can score. And they're not scoring fluky. Like, they give you good drives. They run the ball well. Goff can throw. He's got some good young talent. But here's the thing. Look at their schedule. The Jets, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Packers. Out right now, the Jets are the only team in the remaining four that have a winning record, and that's holding on by a thread. Right? Now, the Panthers are playing a little better. The Bears are 3-10. The Packers, at the end of the season, might have gone to Jordan Love by then. The Lions are in a really good position to make the playoffs. Really good position. But let's take the temperature of the Seahawks real quick before we wrap up this segment. Are you worried about Seattle? Because I'm getting a little worried about Seattle. Because Seattle is 7-6, and Geno Smith is the comeback player of the year. No question about it. In fact, the fact that they're 7-6 should be really, really exciting for people in Seattle, given that everybody was ready to bury them in the ground when Russell Wilson left, not realizing that Geno Smith and this team could actually win some football games. They've dropped 3 of their last 4. And sometimes when you're bleeding a little bit, you don't know it's bad until you can't stop bleeding. Like a little cut, you're like, ah, I got it. Okay, we lose to the Buccaneers. All right, that's all right. So it's just a little flesh wound. It's all right. It's all right. Then they lose to the Raiders in overtime. And it's like, okay, I can't seem to, I'm putting band-aids on this, but I can't seem to stop. Beat the Rams. All right, looks like it's cleaning up a little bit. And then lose to the Panthers at home. And all of a sudden, it's gushing out again. They got the Niners. They've got the Chiefs. They've got the Jets. And they got the Rams. Those are some tough games. Well, towards the end, the Jets might be desperate enough, and the Rams might say, oh, whatever. Baker Mayfield, go have a good time. Be careful if you're Seattle. The Lions are playing good. They're trending upwards. The Seahawks are not. The Giants and the Commanders are duking it out. I think one of them this weekend, likely the Giants, are on the tail end of that. And again, don't forget about, trust me on this because we're going to revisit this in a couple weeks, if the Panthers are winning, only if the Panthers are winning, if they're not winning, then this becomes a segment for space. But Tampa Bay could be in the right there swimming around going, well, we're still in the wild card hunt, but the Panthers look like they're going to win the division. If indeed Panthers keep winning and the Bucks win, but they catch the Panthers on a losing end and the Panthers win the rest of their games and take the division. I know it's a big some scenarios, but it's what I was saying earlier. I think it's one of the reasons this time of year is great. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue. It is Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Congratulations to Syracuse. They took the soccer championship last night from Indiana. I thought I'd throw that out there for you. I don't know if you follow college soccer at all, Mr. Soccer.
I don't, Syracuse, but I saw the highlights.
You know what? You know what? I saw the highlights, too. Do you know what bothered me? Because now I'm a sports Karen. You know, now,
yeah.
They counted down. I was like, wait a minute. Isn't that clock supposed to go up?
Yeah.
Wait, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know what
don't
the...
Don't do it like that.
I don't know what that
I'm supposed to
is.
Know he kicked. He got a goal in the 27th minute. I don't want to do the math. I don't want to have to figure out like they do in hockey where they score and I'm like, okay, 20 minutes. Just somebody tell me what the time of the goal was. But congratulations, Syracuse, beating Indiana in penalty kicks to win the national championship. That's pretty awesome. And they said in the highlights, the last time they met for a national title, 1987 in basketball.